The book of Deuteronomy, please. Chapter 33, verse 45. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up unto this mountain, and so on. Now, we shall read in chapter 34, that's the last chapter. Verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. That will do for reading. I think it was a wonderful moment in the world's history when a human hand lifted a quill or a pen to put down the first words of the Holy Scriptures. I hope we have thought about that. The honored servant of God to do that was Moses, of whom we have been reading. He was the instrument chosen by God and fitted by the Almighty to lay the great foundation of Holy Scriptures. Now, there's not a man who has read his Bible but realizes that the first five books of Moses are a treasure that would keep us occupied for a dozen lives if we had them. We only get scratching the edge of them, as it were, in a short lifetime. And then again, I think it was a wonderful moment in this world when another man, a man called John, of whom you've been hearing, and he wrote the last word of divine revelation. The whole thing's closed. Well, I judge that that's marvelous, isn't it? In the midst of that, you can't help but connect what our brother has just finished speaking. And that is the Apostle Paul, who has been the instrument chosen of God to pen those epistles so vital to us in the present generation. Now, I think we should ponder a little. You will notice that Moses, at his end, had a longing, but it wasn't fulfilled. I would just love to go over, but he's not allowed. You'll notice that John, at his end, he had a longing, even so come, Lord Jesus, but it wasn't answered. And you'll notice that Paul is yearning to be in that wonderful kingdom of which he has spoken, and in the full enjoyment of reigning with Christ. Again, that was not fulfilled. Now, what I'm going to try and do, and this I hope will be helpful to the young believers, I want us to see how inspired writers valued the writings of other inspired writings. Or can you follow that? Because you see, you might have thought that a man like John, who could write as guided by the Spirit of God. Now, I don't say he was an inspired man. I say the scriptures he gave us are inspired. And that a man like Paul, who could sit down and write epistles and say, these are the commandments of the Lord. You'd almost imagine a man like that would have very little respect or regard for the writings of those who have gone before. Now, I know everybody's mind doesn't work alike, and I have a little weakness, you'll have to bear with it if I mention it here tonight, and that is this. I love to connect Scripture with Scripture. I love to take passages from the New Testament and bring them back to the Old. I love to see how men writing in the New Testament can make use of the Old Testament. You know, some people are worried, would the Bible be inspired? But you know, if it lived the way I have done, and have kept looking at it day in and day out over my little lifetime, as long as I was physically able. You've always to draw the line, you know, for there are days you can't read, you're so ill. But a normal life, you have no doubts whatever about inspiration. Wouldn't take anybody to sit down and argue with me about inspiration. Why? You've just so enjoyed the linking together and the uniting of Scripture that the very idea of it would be foreign to your mind. You couldn't possibly imagine it. For none but God could write a book, and none could, but God could make such wonderful revelations that are here given. Now, will you please bear with me a second? We have been speaking at some meetings lately, and we've been trying to show the links between certain books in the Bible. For example, I'm sure some of you at least have thought of the links between Genesis and Zechariah. We've had a sermon on that on one occasion. And was it yesterday I was trying to speak on the links between Genesis and 2 Corinthians? Any schoolboy could see it there. It didn't take a great deal of looking to see that. And in my mind, I can see quite a long list of links between the book of Exodus and 1 Corinthians. Anyone interested in that could easily find it out for himself. And so these men, this is what I want us to get to see. They not only wrote themselves, but they loved and reveled in the truth that others have written. Can you get that? You know, some men always enjoy their own ministry. Did you get that? But you see, these men could enjoy the wonderful revelation and could weave them in to what they were guided to write. Now, Mr. Wilson won't fight with me, I know, for I think I remember him fairly well along these lines. But will you believe me that the book of Revelation is, I was going to say, a combination of collecting together Old Testament scriptures? Have we agreed on that, brother? You see, that is the last man who's writing. I'm not saying the Revelation there was the last book written. Don't be coming at me about that. But I know he's the last writer. I have no doubt about that. John's the last man to use his pen. But you see, he's going away back. And he's looking through the earlier parts of the Bible. And the Spirit of God is stirring up his mind and using those symbols of the old economy and bringing them into his writings. And again, I hope you will know that Paul made good use of his Bible. Paul made good use of his Bible. And that is when he's writing 1 Corinthians, he can tell us that the things that were written beforehand were written for us and for our benefit. And he tells us the same in other passages. That is to say, these men who were guided by the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God, they could see that the Spirit was given to other people. The very ideas and the very thoughts that they were employing themselves, and they could bring them into their whole way of thinking. When we think of this, one of the things that give us grave concern, and some of us maybe feel it a little more now than we ever did, that those men who, in a very special way, opened up the scriptures to us. I could mention names, but I don't want to be partial or give any false impressions. The great tragedy comes that they leave us. Mind you, it was a sad day for Israel when they saw I was going to call him an old man, but he's a fresh old man, climbing the hill, you know, and going away and saying, goodbye, Moses, we'll not see you again. Bye-bye. And I doubt not but it was a solemn day when the news circulated through the churches that Paul is gone. You know, there's some kind of a sinking comes into you, doesn't there, now, when you hear of certain men called home. The past year was pretty solemn to me in this respect. I'm not going to make too many references, but they did hit me pretty hard. And that makes me feel the solemnity of losing men that have gone before. But what we want to get from our Bibles tonight is, if possible, is this, that when these men were leaving, they knew and they were satisfied they were leaving a treasure behind. And that treasure was the Word of God. And by leaving that treasure behind, They were leaving all that was necessary for the sustenance of those that they had left behind. You see, the pity with our dear brethren is, when they go, they take their knowledge with them, and they take their experience with them, and we've all to start at scratch. I would just have loved to have started where some of them left off, and gone on from that, but we can't do that. We have to start at scratch, and we just have to begin as they began. And we have to start out in our pathway and go ahead with that, and do as they did, and learn our Bibles for ourselves. So nobody can put it into our minds. We have to do that for ourselves. And then, you see, we must remember that we have the treasure of the Word of God. Now, what a wonderful meeting this would be tonight, just at the close of the conference, for I judge I'll be the last speaker. At the close of the conference, if into our hearts was put a special appetite for the Word of God in these dark and closing days. You see, it's not difficult to know when someone is really feasting on the Word of God. And it's not difficult to know those who have a real interest in the Scriptures and derive what benefits they can from others who have gone before them. That's why now, in a meeting like this, you will find there are some, and they listen with special interest when ministry is being given. Why? Because they're interested in what the passage is saying. They're interested in the Word of God. And as they hear it being opened up, it has a fresh meaning to them. Many a time I've been in a meeting and a verse has been difficult to me, or a passage has given me some concern, and I've just listened with bated breath to see what way the man would handle it, and how he would get over the difficulties, and what way he would explain them. And when he did that, he had given me great help. And he didn't know it, of course, but I appreciated it. It was something for my own mind and heart. Now, dear young brother, you get into your mind. Not others have read the Bible before you were born, and they have sought to understand it. And don't you just be thrown lightly overboard and taking it as a kind of scrap what they have learned, and think that you're a giant when compared with them. Please keep humble-minded, because God does not entrust his truth in that way that would make you proud or anything like that. You just have to be humble enough to creep at his feet and try and learn as best as the Lord would help you. When it comes to another side of things that I think will give most age men anyhow, and we're not putting ourselves too far out on that, but it gives most of our older brethren a good deal of concern, and that is truth relative to assembly life and testimony. I judge that when men are more mature, and they take a look round the companies that they have left behind or are leaving behind, they begin to feel a burden. Now, what way will this testimony go when I'm home in heaven? Now, you say, how is that little company going to be kept? What is the real guidelines? You see, Mr. Wilson was reminding us that there they were in Angola with all the persecution. And after all, what was left behind that will keep those companies going on? And what will keep them steady? It's just the Word of God. That is to see to it that in our assemblies, we don't introduce anything for which we have not scriptural authority. And secondly, that we don't leave out in our assemblies what we have scriptural authority for doing. You know, many, many times, brethren seem to lose out on this point. They don't like you to tell them it. They'll tell you about a certain thing has happened, and they'll say, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And then you ask them, now please, brother, could you tell me what scripture have you in mind when you're going to act like that? Oh, we never thought of that, man. Aye, but why should we not? After all, assemblies exist because of what the Bible says. And if we haven't the scriptures for what we're doing, we are in dangerous ground. We can't go by our imagination. And we can't go by the advice of men. We have got to get to the Bible for it. That's why, dear brethren, it's more than just you imagine to get a knowledge of your Bible. For it's only when difficulties arise and problems assert themselves that you discover how much you need an understanding of the Word of God. And how times you'll have to search into it more closely. For you say, well, I never expected to be faced with this. And sometimes the phone will ring, you know, and the people say, we have a problem, could you help us? And we have this difficulty and that difficulty. You'd almost think at times there wasn't a Bible left in the country. And nobody had any time to read it. You see, after all, dear brethren, we who are seeking to help the assemblies, we must keep them to the Word of God and see from the Bible our conduct and our action. You see, that's after all what brought us into the assembly, isn't it? I know some might have been brought up more privileged than others, but strictly speaking, now what is it brings a man into the assembly? Isn't it simply because he has discovered a place where the Word of God is honored and where the Word of God is obeyed? And he looks at the assembly and he watches what's going on, and he goes home and he looks at his Bible and he says, now that's just what I read in the Scriptures. I see it as clear as crystal. That's God's Word put into practice. But supposing he goes to a company and they have introduced things that are not in the Bible. He maybe sees instrumental music in the corner. And he'll maybe see things going on in the assembly that are not in keeping with the Word of God. And he begins to wonder, well, I don't know. That place, right enough, it's not too bad. It's a bit better than the place I'm going. But, you know, just to say that it's the place where God would want me to be, I would be in difficulty. I better check up and make sure that I'm going to where the Word of God directs me. Now, we need to be careful about that. Now, don't you see, when Moses is at the end, he's pressing home, and he's pressing it with all earnestness. He says, now you pay heed to what these words, and these words are not written in vain. They're the very life. They're for your benefit. They're for your good. They're for the benefit of the nation. Don't be neglecting them. They're most important, because they're the very existence of the nation. And again, those words were not just mere counsel only. They were that. And mainly that. But there were a number of warnings in them. Sometimes we do not take the warnings of our Bible serious. You know this well-known text, you preach it to the unsaved, but maybe you should preach it to God's saints. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood these things, that they would consider their latter end. Have we ever thought, brethren, here now in the city tonight, have we ever thought of the consequences of turning away from the Word of God? Have we ever weighed up the full result of it? Have we seen the consequences of it? Or do we realize that the very life of the assembly and its continuance as a testimony for God is dependent upon the Word of God? And you will see that when you're reading 2 Timothy, that our brother has been referring to, great stress has been put upon the Word of God. I think in every chapter, possibly, there's emphasis in every chapter on the Word of God. You say, was the old man beginning to dote? Or was he beginning to slacken up? Or was Moses at the age of 120? Was his mind getting slack and he was losing out and he hardly knew what he was talking about? Not at all. These mature servants of God realize this, how vital it is to keep to the Word of God, how vital it is to value the Word of God, and how vital it is to not only ponder it, but obey it, and let it be our guide in assembly matters. Then again, I don't think, now I'm telling you very frankly, I don't think Moses fully realized when he was writing the books of the Pentateuch, as we call them, those five books, that there would be so much referred to in future times. You know, sometimes you watch the men on the platform, you know, they quote Mr. So-and-so, I remember him so long ago, and I heard Mr. So-and-so say this, and I heard Mr. So-and-so say that. Now, those men, likely, when they were saying those things, they never thought they'd be quoted. But what I want you now to see is this, that when Moses was writing those things, he never thought the use that Paul would make of them when he's instructing the saints. Now, might I venture a little further? This will maybe surprise some of you. It will likely be amazing, the use that will be made of the epistles in the coming kingdom on earth by those who will be left behind. You know, the Bibles are not going to be raptured. Won't it be marvelous for those people in the future? Oh, so somebody, I can't believe in an earthly kingdom. I wouldn't believe the like of that. What will they do with the Lord's Supper? And what will they do with assembly principles? And how will they get on with that part of their Bible? Sure, they'll be all muddled. Just, I told a brother one time when he was bringing up those arguments, just the way we can read Deuteronomy, and the way we can read Leviticus, and the way we can read the Old Testament. And they'll turn back into the epistles. This is what I want you to see. And they'll look in them, and they'll learn lessons in those coming days. And they'll say, just as they did this and they did that, there's a lesson for us, and there's a warning for us, and there's teaching for us. I don't believe for a moment that they'll be fooled in turning church truth into kingdom truth. I think they'll have more wisdom than that. And if we have enough wisdom in our day not to get muddled with Old Testament pictures and use the New Testament instructions, they'll have equally intelligence. I don't think they're all going to be fools that will go into the coming kingdom. And they'll go into that and they'll learn it. And as they look back into the epistles, they'll see the lessons. And all their very hearts will well up in joy as they think of the wonders of the person of Christ and the value of his work upon the cross. Now, dear brother, and dear soul, I don't want to be too long, for I'm sure you're wearied in mind today after a long day. But I want to get this over to you. You wouldn't know, nor I wouldn't know, the far-reaching effects that declaring the Word of God can have. Now, we don't. We preach it to the audience that's listening to us. And when we have that preached, we say, well, now that's that over. I can't preach that sermon again because, you know, they all know here in Northern Ireland they have that many tapes and one thing or another. You just have to scrap a sermon once it's over and that's you finished for all time. And you just have to leave it. That's of no value for any more. You're finished with that. Now, that is perfectly so. We admit that. But mind you, a word in season and a word from God. And a word in emphasizing the scriptures or quoting a particular scripture or opening up from the Bible a certain truth. Mind you, it can go a long way. Go a long way. Go a long way. Maybe in a gospel meeting and you're making clear the way of salvation from the Bible and you're teaching the poor sinner how he needs to be saved and how he can be saved. I hope we try to do it anyhow. He goes out, he's not saved. Do you know this? He might even re-preach that to some of his fellow workmen, and maybe it would be the means of their salvation. Maybe you don't believe that, of course. You think that nobody could get see anybody saved unless they were walking in touch with God. God has used unsaved people before now. We used to hear about the man who went to a meeting, and they were at a building site, and it was lunchtime, and he started to tell the workmates where he was the night before. See, I was at a meeting. The man was preaching. And he re-preached what the man had preached. And one of his workmates, concerned about his soul, got saved while he was telling it, just repeating what the preacher had said. Wouldn't it be great, dear brother, if you had used the Word of God, left it in somebody's mind, left it stored in somebody's heart, and in days to come, that will come up before them, and that will be used of the Spirit of God for their benefit. That's why we emphasize the importance of teaching the children in the Sunday schools the Word of God. Some of us are indebted to what we learn just as little boys in the Sunday school, because, you see, we got into our minds the Word of God, and then that was used of God in later times to lead us to a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, going home. Paul, going home. John, dropping his pen, never to lift it again. Marvelous, isn't it? What a treasure they've left behind. You say, but you'll not be inspired, no. And you're not inspired, no. Your gospel preaching's not inspired. Indeed, it's not. Full of faltering and failing, we all admit it. But after all, dear friend, we'll leave in memories not what we were instrumental in writing, but what God has written. And we'll get that word home to the minds. And we'll get it into the minds of the saints. And we'll keep spreading it abroad amongst the Lord's dear people. And we'll keep emphasizing it and emphasizing it. And they'll have received a treasure. A treasure of the Word of God.
And that's what made all these three quite satisfied to just go home. Just go home. Would you like to go home, dear brother, having left in the minds of people the holy scriptures that you preached and proclaimed in their hearing, Would you feel thankful for that? Would you like to have left this world that you could say, well, now there's an assembly, and I taught it the word of God, and if they keep to what they were taught, it will still be on right lines long after I'm in glory. That's if the Lord tarry. And if not, dear soul, mind you, I'm going to go another length. Maybe I go too far sometimes. Won't it be great, oh dear souls, won't it be great to have a full opening up of Scripture in that coming kingdom? So somebody, where did you get that notion from? Where did you get that idea from? Did you notice that on the Mount of Transfiguration, which is a little miniature of the future kingdom, that Moses got an insight and an understanding of what he had written earlier in connection with the sufferings of Christ and his death on the cross? That is in the kingdom. The word of God will be opening up to us. Won't it be great to have it in our minds and in our hearts? And then we'll see the wonder of divine revelation and appreciate the inspired word of the living God. Now we shall ask the Lord's blessing.